All right. Good evening. I've missed being here. I feel like this is my other home church. Because God is here, and where God is, that's my home. And God is here, so I'm excited about it. You know, it's really cool. I just want to share some. Christian and I didn't coordinate these things that I'm about to share, but God obviously did. Onuri, we just finished a corporate fast as well not too long ago. And what's interesting is I shared this message right before we finished our fast too. So it's kind of timing-wise kind of cool in that regard. And also God used this message to really bring a lot of freedom for our congregation. People experience new breakthroughs and new bondages that kept people in bondage for like years, if not decades, were broken through the truth of his word. And I'm really excited. And as I was preparing this, even several weeks ago for the ministry that I'm currently pastoring at, God also was tugging at my heart that I needed to preach this for JSEM as well. So I couldn't wait to come back and preach to you guys, because this is, I really believe, a message that God wants to use to set you guys free and to take you guys to new levels of walking in victory, walking in power. But because of that, I also know in a similar way, right before I preach it at Onuri and right before I preach it here, Satan does not want this message to be heard. Okay, so because of that, what I'd like for us to do, if we could just pray right now and really bind the enemy from this place, if we could do that, really bind the enemy and claim, this is your local church. This is your congregation. So you have every right and authority to claim it for Christ, because it's yours. This is your ministry. This is your church. This is your home. And you get to choose who gets to dwell here and who doesn't. And so I'd really want to invite you to step up in your authority and really claim this place for Christ. So can we do that for a few moments? Let's pray right now. Claim this place for Christ. Bind the enemy. And really pray right now for his filling, anointing, and protection. Hear what the Lord says to you, O house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. Do not learn the ways of the nations or be terrified by the signs in the sky. Though the nations are terrified by them, do not be. For the customs of the people are worthless. They cut a tree out of a forest, and a craftsman shapes it to his chisel. They adorn it with silver and gold. They fasten it with hammer and nails so that it will not totter. Like a scarecrow in a melon patch, their idols cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot walk. Do not fear them. They can do no harm, nor can they do any good. No one is like you, O Lord, for you are great, and your name is mighty in power. Who should not revere you, O King of the nations? This is your due. Among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is no one like you. Lord, we declare this tonight, that there is no one like you in all the earth, in all the nations, in all creation, God. God, who else is worthy of to be praised except you? Who else is worthy of our lives except you? Lord, we are amazed at your grace. God, that you are merciful. You are filled with mercy. And your mercies are renewed each and every day. Each and every morning we wake up, God, you overflow our lives with your mercy. That you do not give us according to our sins. God, you are merciful. And instead of punishment, God, you bless us. That is your grace that we are amazed by, that we are blessed by, that we are blown away by. God, you are amazing. You are awesome. Father, we love you, and we are so thankful that you love us with an everlasting love. God, that there is no place in this planet that we can walk where your love does not surround us and where your presence is not there. God, we bless you today because you are here. Holy Spirit, we welcome you, and we declare we love to be in your presence. God, that there's sweetness in your presence. There is peace in your presence. There is joy in your presence. And there is power in your presence. And God, with that, Lord, we want to bind the enemy from this place right now. Satan, we bind you, we silence you, and we cast you far from this place because God's holy people have gathered here. And Lord, they have gathered here to seek after God alone. So Lord, we bind the enemy and we ask that you would be a mighty wall of fire around us. Be a mighty flame surrounding us now, God. That we would find light and warmth by the fire of your presence. For our God is a consuming fire. And Lord, we ask as you do bind the enemy, as you bless us and surround us, Lord, we ask that you'd pour out a great anointing of your oil, of your blessing, of your power to change lives. God, set people free tonight. God, things that have been binding people for years, God, break those chains now in Jesus' name. Lord, I command freedom tonight in Jesus' name. God, we declare freedom in Jesus' name. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And Lord, truth sets people free. So Lord, we want to hear from your truth tonight. So God, I ask that you would consecrate my lips with your holy coal right now, Lord, so that your messenger would be filled and anointed by your Spirit, and that your word would be honored as it is proclaimed today, God. And Lord, may your people who hear your word honor that word. May we cherish that word. May we obey that word and submit our lives under the authority of that word today. Lord, we expect great things tonight because you are a great God who only does great works. So, Lord, we expect only the best from your hand tonight. God, would you release a fresh anointing tonight, a new anointing? May our cups overflow with your anointing tonight, God. We want you and only you, Holy Spirit. Fill us to the overflow tonight, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God is here. And dude, he loves you guys. Oh my goodness. Oh, that's awesome. I feel so at home here. The message for tonight is entitled Understanding Spiritual Authority. Understanding Spiritual Authority. And the main text will come from Matthew chapter 8, from verse 5, but I'm actually going to be looking at a bunch of different passages. So for those of you taking notes, I just want to give you those as reference points. Understanding spiritual authority, primary text will come from Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13, and a bunch of other stuff. You know, we live in a world governed by authority. Whether you're a Christian or not, whether you like it or not, we are surrounded by authority. The moment you're born, you are under the authority of your parents. And even if your mom was like rushed to the hospital in the ambulance while she was giving birth to you, you are under the authority of the police officer or the ambulance, and right when you get to the hospital, you are under the authority of the doctor or the physician that is caring over your mom. And so we are, the moment we are born, we are surrounded by different levels of authority. And if you try to speed in most countries except Asian countries, police cars will usually stop you, you know. And you'll be under some sort of authority in that regard as well. Authority can be defined as this: power to determine, to rule, or to govern, or even a delegation of power. So if you pass on authority to someone else, you're delegating power. And it refers to the right and the power to hold sway in a given relationship. So if there is a certain relationship that you have, so if you have power to sway or to influence that relationship, it shows that you have a certain level of authority over that relationship. Spiritual authority has been abandoned by many in this day and age and abused by some. So it's been abandoned by many. So some think this, not me, you know, I can't have spiritual authority. I don't have, you know, not little teeny weeny me, you know, I'm so humble and contrite and no, not me. So a lot of people think that, and that's exactly what the enemy wants us to think, that we don't have any authority. We don't have any spiritual authority. Not me, not I'm so frail, I don't, what do I have? Satan does not want us to exercise the authority we have in Christ because it will weaken his plans against the church. So he wants us to believe that lie. Okay? So in our day and age, there is less power, there is less protection in our families, churches, even our governments. When people fail to use their spiritual authority for the purposes of God and his kingdom, which he has given to us to exercise. It's kind of like this. Let's say you go home, you know, it's all of a sudden you're headed home, and right before you get home, you see that there's thieves and robbers taking stuff out of your home. Okay, so they're taking your TV out, you recognize the computer, so you call the police. And then all of a sudden the police come and the police is right next to you. And, you know, they have their arms folded. And it's, oh, my goodness, look at that. That is so horrible. Is that your stuff? I'm like, yeah, that's my stuff. Oh, my goodness, that's so bad. I feel so bad for you. You know, and it's like, oh, is that your TV? That is a nice TV. And they're just standing there. Obviously, you'd be very frustrated. And you'd be like, what's going on? Use your power. Use your authority. You're somebody who can do something about this situation. Right, so people who, in the same frustration that we would have against the police officer who does not exercise his authority, he could do something about the situation, but he chooses to not do anything. That's how the church is in a lot of ways today when it comes to authority and exercising authority when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. See, there's something that we have been given, a certain level of spiritual authority to exercise in the spiritual battle that we are in. But many people, either out of ignorance or out of timidity, choose not to exercise that authority. So that's why it's important for us to understand this better. Again, so many have abandoned this area of discipleship while others use it and abuse it, causing great harm in the body of Christ. I have been in some ministries when I was younger where the key leader definitely knew about spiritual authority and abused it to the point where that person would control people. He would control who gets the date and who should break up. They control what people should major in university. It's like very authoritarian, very abusive in their authority. So some people get turned off because of those things. But we must not either abandon it nor abuse it. We must not do those things. Rather, we must redeem it and use it for the glory of God and for the purposes of his kingdom. Amen? So that is why this topic is very essential, especially as God is not only taking you in a new season of spiritual dynamics for this ministry before this new outpouring happens, because there will be a new release of power, a new release of authority in your lives, in this ministry. So that's why I think it is very divine in terms of timing, that you do understand this message and how this is supposed to be applied and used within our lives. Amen? All right, so let's get to it. So the most important thing that you must understand about spiritual authority is this. This is the most important thing you must understand. This is where it starts. Number one, Jesus Christ has all authority. Amen? Isn't that wonderful news? That there's no one above him. Christ has all authority. Matthew 28, Great Commission. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen. So what strong, reassuring promises he gives us. One, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth, meaning there's nothing above me, there's nothing too far below me. All authority has been given to me. So he says, there's no one greater, no one higher. And then he says, and that person who has all authority, I'm going to be with you forever. Amen. So we have that assurance to go in faith to the nations, to declare truth, to speak truth that sets people free, to speak the gospel truth that brings salvation. Power of God for the salvation of all who believe. Awesome. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, again, for those taking notes, or you could just listen to it. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Amen. Christ, who is in you, who is with you, is the head over every power and authority. So the primary thing we must understand about authority is that Jesus Christ has all authority. He has all power and all the rights to have all things in heaven and earth subordinate to him and to have his will be done. He is supreme. Okay, so he is the ultimate authority as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, as Savior who is sovereign and supreme over all nations, over all people, every human, every angel, every demon, and Satan himself is under the authority of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And so now let's go to our passage for today. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 and following. Matthew chapter 8, starting from verse 5. It says, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Now, a centurion was a guard or a leader over 100 soldiers, right? Thus the name cent, centurion, right? So he's a leader or a guard over 100 people in his group or battalion, right? So 100 soldiers. So he understands leadership, influence, and power over a group of people, right? So that's the kind of person that has approached Christ. Someone, a leader, who oversees people, who understands leadership, influence, power, authority. So this is the person who has approached Jesus Christ. Verse 6. Let's read verse 6. What's the first word in verse 6? Lord. Okay. So he understands lordship, but also there's humility here. He is calling Christ Lord. He says, Lord, my servant lies at home paralyzed and is in terrible suffering. So we see his understanding of lordship. He calls him Lord. We see his humility. He cares for his servants. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. So that's nice of Jesus, right? But let's read verse 8 together. Ready, begin? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Wow, that's faith. Okay, so again, what does he say? He says, Lord, again, I do not deserve, again, humility, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but what? Just say what? Just say the word. Speak, and my servant will be healed. He understands the power of words spoken and commanded in light of authority. There's power in your words. There's power in the things that you declare in the physical world that will affect the spiritual world. And this is the kind of person that is speaking now to Jesus. He says, speak the word. I'm a man in authority. I understand authority. You speak the word, my servant's going to be healed. Commanded obedience. Okay, verse 9. For I myself am a man under authority. Okay, so he is someone who is under authority. So he learns how to submit. He learns how to be in a relationship with authority over him. He says, I'm a man under authority with soldiers under me. So he's a man in authority. And he understands the dynamics of there. So when he commands people under his authority, they obey. It's not optional. They don't argue about it. It happens. That's how authority works. With soldiers under me. I tell this one, go. And he goes. That one, come. He comes. I didn't say to my servant, do this. He does it. He understands authority. This is a man who had humble strength. That's the most powerful kind. That's like Christ, our humble king. But most importantly, he understood that Jesus had all authority. He understood the power. When Jesus says one word, it's going to be done. He says, because he's saying this, because I know that your authority, because I know that your authority is supreme, supreme over time and space, and over physical health, spiritual health, emotional health. He says, I understand that. So you speak the word, it's going to happen. He understands Jesus has all authority. Amen. So we must begin there with the understanding that Christ has all authority. And from that truth, we learn this principle. The second key principle is that Jesus Christ gives us authority. All right. So he has supreme authority. But Jesus Christ also, he gives us authority. Therefore, the connection between the first point and the second point, we need to understand before we get all prideful, thinking, yeah, I got authority, it's from Christ. Before we get too high on ourselves, we have to understand that we are all accountable to Christ because he has supreme authority. Just like the centurion, he understands what it's like to be under authority and have authority. We need to understand it as well. Yes, we have authority, but we are under the authority of Christ. Our authority as believers is based on a couple of things, relationship and responsibility. Okay? So our authority as believers in Christ is based upon relationship and responsibility. First of all, it's based upon our relationship with Christ. Okay? So as disciples of Christ, we have been given a certain level of authority to do the work of Christ. And to be protected by the enemy. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 says this. He called the 12 disciples to him and gave them authority. To do what? To drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. There is a level of spiritual authority that we need to understand. Hallelujah. Christian and Aaron are back safely. I know your family here miss you a ton, but I miss you guys too, man. It's good to know you're back in Korea. All right. So Christ gives us authority. Our authority as believers is based upon relationship, responsibility, our relationship with Christ. So as disciples, we've been given that authority. Matthew 10, chapter 10, verse 1. So he called the 12, gave them authority to drive out spirits, to heal every disease and sickness. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke 10, 19 says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. And this is in reference to the victory of Christ crushing the serpent's head, Satan, back from to Genesis 1. So that you, in Christ, have the authority to crush the power of the enemy. Amen? So again, it's based upon our relationship. We have this authority because of our relationship to Christ. But also, we have authority because of our roles and responsibilities in Christ. Okay, so our relationship, we have authority, but also because of our roles and responsibilities. Because what we are responsible for is what we have authority over. If God has given you a certain responsibility over certain people, like a classroom, if you're a teacher, if you have responsibility over something, God has given you authority over that thing. Okay? So if we are responsible before God, if we are responsible before God for that thing, God also has given us authority over it. Now, two primary purposes of why we have authority. Right? There's two primary purposes. There are others, but I just want to, because of time's sake, I'll focus on these two. Two primary reasons why we have been given authority. Number one is to humbly lead. Okay, to humbly lead. So guide people in all wisdom and all truth, knowing that we are ultimately responsible to Christ and his authority over us. To humbly lead. And number two, to courageously protect. Okay. So to humbly lead, courageously protect. To fight for the people that you are responsible for. To sacrifice for them, like our authority, Jesus Christ. Now I want to get into certain practical areas of responsibilities that we have. Okay, so again, primary reasons why we have it, to humbly lead, courageously protect. So what are the areas of responsibility that God's given us? Number one, of course, is as a person, over yourself. The first area of authority and responsibility that we have in this world is over yourself. God has given you authority over your life. So that's why you can't play the blame game or the victim game. Oh, it's, you know, because of my parents, or it's because of my environment, it's because I had a mean sister that always beat up on it. You can't do that. God has given you authority over your life. And it's time for us to claim that authority for Christ. Amen? All right, so the number one thing we are responsible for is ourselves. So you must no longer be neutral about the things that influence your life. Don't be neutral about it. Okay? Don't leave your mind, your eyes, your ears left unguarded. Things such as past sins, involvement with cultic things like Ouija board, tarot card readings, whatever, which is growing even in Korea, right? Gangnam, dude, how many like tarot card reading booths are there now, right? And it's so sad. Sometimes when I'm just walking around there at night, there's like long lines of people. They think it's just for fun. They do not understand the spiritual dynamics and strongholds that develop by getting involved in stuff like that. And so if you have been involved in things like that, you got to understand that you are allowing yourself to place your life under the authority of the enemy. It's time to claim your life back for Christ. Amen? Other religions, if you're involved in other religions, vows that you or your parents or other people in authority made on your behalf, curses that were said over you, dedications, trauma and other types of abuse, these can all lead to strongholds that bind our lives. Okay, so either you or an authority over you have allowed the enemy to have influence and authority over your life if you've been involved in things. Therefore, you must take authority over your life by submitting it under the authority of Christ. Because obedience determines who you are under in terms of authority. Because let's say hypothetically North Korea invades South Korea right tonight, and then this general says, now I represent the North Korean regime, you must do as I say. And then obviously South Korean government people are saying, no, this is our country, this is our government, this is our rule and authority, you have to follow us. Now, it doesn't matter what territory these two governments really stake as their claim. In terms of where you stand, who you obey, you are under that ruling authority. If you obey what the North Korean guy says, you're submitting your life under his authority. If you obey the South Korean government, you're submitting your life under that person's authority. Right? Makes sense, right? You guys got that? And so for us, you need to understand, okay, what's the primary purpose of why we have authority? Again, to humbly lead and to courageously protect. So you need to humbly lead your life back to the cross and boldly protect, courageously protect your life with prayer and the Word of God, fasting, obedience. And you need to understand the power of words that we talked about earlier by declaring truth over your life and to believe in that truth. And to declare your faith in the truth of who you are in Christ. Amen. You need to declare, I am accepted by God. Right? That I'm God's child. I'm a disciple. I'm a friend of God. I've been justified. I'm united with the Lord. I'm one with Him in spirit. I've been bought with a price. I belong to God. I've been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I'm complete in Christ. Christ is sufficient. And if I am in Him, I am sufficient. You do not allow the enemy to determine who you are. You let the truth of God's word determine who you are. You declare, I'm secure. I'm free from any condemnation brought against me. And I cannot be separated from the love of God. Romans 8. 2 Corinthians 1. I've been established, anointed, and sealed by God. Colossians 3. I am hidden with Christ in God. Philippians 3. I'm a citizen of heaven. 1 John 5. I am born of God and the evil one cannot touch me. You declare truth over your life. You speak truth in faith. Knowing that when you declare truth, the power of the words affects the spiritual realm. It affects your life. Amen? So again, do not let the enemy dictate how you view yourself. You let the word of God dictate your life. Amen? So that's the first area of authority that we all have, is over ourselves. And this is something that I pray literally every day. It's like I would pray, God, I surrender and submit my life under your rule and authority. I declare it out loud. I pray that out loud. Say, God, my life is yours. I don't want to, it's not the enemy's. I'm not going to give in to the enemy. God, my life is yours. And you declare that. You make a public declaration of your allegiance under Christ. You got to understand, that's powerful. When you do that, that has power in the spiritual realms of what happens, of the strongholds. All of a sudden, they can't hold on to you anymore because you declare, I'm Christ's. I've been bought with the blood of Christ. I belong to God. He's my ruler. He's my Lord. What He says goes, not what you say to the enemy. Amen. Give you a few other examples. So as a pastor, God has given me authority over my local congregation. And in the similar way, God has given Christian spiritual authority over you as a spiritual authority figure for Him. So for my congregation, I'll just contextualize for my situation. So I am called upon, again, to humbly lead, courageously protect. So I'm called by God to humbly lead our congregation through the Word of God. And to courageously protect through prayer, to rebuke and to warn. Right? So when I start sensing certain like spirit of ambition or spirit of pride or spirit of just nasty stuff that the enemy wants to do, it's my responsibility, again, to humbly lead us in the word, in the truth, but also courageously protect. That if I have to declare in front of the whole congregation, let us pray against this right now. I need to do that. Courageously protect, right? But this kind of protection is only if you place yourself under the authority of Christ and this church. So if God is really blessing JACM, if God's anointing Christian and He's declaring things, if you are in rebellion against Christ and against this local church, you are putting yourself outside of the covering, the protection, and the blessing that can be yours. So that is why it's important for you, again, to make sure that your life is under the authority of Christ and in obedience, in fellowship, harmony with the local church here. Amen? That's crucial. Right. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders, submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Again, even though we have authority as pastors over our congregations, we need to remember we are accountable before the authority of Christ. That we must give account to Him. And also the writer of Hebrews continues on and says, obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be no advantage to you. Amen? Christian, amen? Obey your leaders so that their work will be a joy. So, if you are under the authority of your pastor, you are also under their protection and their anointing. Okay? This is an interesting thing that I've noticed in this context like this for a spiritual leadership stuff. Churches without pastors, they often become very restless, very unstable, right? Have you noticed that? So if a pastor is gone for like a weekend or something, you guys, it's like, it's kind of cool. You guys can manage. But if the pastor is gone for prolonged periods or if there's a transition period without a spiritual leader, even though everything else is in place, there seems to be some unsettling, some shifting. Something's not quite right. And the reason for that is because a layer of protection is gone. A layer of protection and anointing that the spiritual authority brings over a congregation. So that is why it's important for you to, again, put yourself under the authority of the church, of Christ, to be obedient to your leader, but also to pray for your leader, to be in prayer, so that your leader will be walking with Christ, be anointed with the Spirit, walk in the steps of faith and in truth. Because that's going to affect your protection. That's going to affect your anointing. Amen? Okay, so as a pastor, also as a teacher, for example, if for those of you who are English teachers or other types of teachers stuff, you actually, you need to understand, you have authority over your classroom. Okay? So it's important. There are actually some Christian teachers that I know, okay, that have taken this upon themselves and started praying differently before their class starts or before their students enter their classroom. They will claim authority over that classroom. They will claim their authority for Christ over every student that will be there. And they've noticed changes. Some, like, psycho classes turn somewhat calmer, you know, because they're understanding that because God has given them a certain level of spiritual authority in that responsibility, in the past they did nothing, and that's why it became chaotic. So now they're stepping into their authority, exercising it, humbly leading, courageously protecting, and they're experiencing new levels of interaction, new dimensions in how they can lead within that setting. Also, again, as managers over your subordinates in the work setting and governing officers, if some people in your church are in the government, we actually have some people in our ministry that are in the Korean government. And so I challenge them, dude, God has given you an amazing position of authority. And you need to exercise it and submit that under the authority of Christ. It's very powerful that you do that over the people you serve. And now, also practically, as a husband, you have been given authority over your wife. Now, some wives don't like that and some husbands don't like that, all right? But that's biblical. Husbands have been given authority over their wives. Why? Two primary reasons again. Number one was what? To humbly lead, and to courageously protect. So those are the two primary reasons. To humbly lead your wife to Christ, to boldly protect her through prayers. So, say this. So as the spiritual leader over this marriage and family, this is something that I actually pray. There are times, it's very interesting. Sometimes when my wife was, before we got married and stuff, there were times where she would get leg cramps. Like all of a sudden in the middle of the night, like at 2, 3 a.m., boom, she'll get like severe leg cramps, and then she'd have, it would wake her up, right? And there were times that that would happen after we got married. But I started praying these kind of prayers, actually. Whenever I start to, obviously, I don't know if it's the enemy or not initially, so I would pray this. I would say, God, or Satan, as a spiritual leader over this marriage and family, if you want to touch her, you have to go through me. Again, the reason for that, no, you need to understand. Because my role is to humbly lead, courageously protect. Now, this is the interesting thing. When I write, literally the second after I pray that, the cramps go away. Literally the second after I pray those things. And so there are times when I know of other husbands, you know, marriage, things like, they'll pray similar prayers. Like if, you know, the spouse has nightmares or can't sleep or whatever, you pray over your spouse. And you surrender that relationship to Christ, and especially husbands, current husbands and future husbands, you need to understand your role as a spiritual leader. That's your role. You don't just, oh man, I hope you get better soon, you know? That's what a lot of people do. They neglect their role, and Satan gets to play around, you know? But you need to step up to the plate. Understand your responsibility as a spiritual authority, and you need to exercise that authority in Christ. Amen? Okay. Again, so those who have nightmares, all this stuff, you know? And if you're not sure, obviously, it's better for me, I'd rather take a chance. Better to be safe than sorry, right? So even if you're not sure if it's the enemy, it might just be a cram. But, you know, if you're not sure if it might be the enemy, you just say, God, if this is the enemy, stop it in Jesus' name. If this is from the enemy, rebuke it right now. Okay. And also as parents, current parents and future parents, you have a spiritual authority over your children. Okay. That's another dimension that's been deteriorated in this generation. Parents are scared of their children. That is messed up. Right? And Satan is taking advantage of that. Satan is using that to create fear, dysfunction, and a lot of spiritual funky dynamics within homes these days. So as parents, again, your role currently or in the future is to humbly lead them to Christ, boldly protect them through prayers. Cover over babies and children with bold prayers. Declare truth into their lives. Okay. You declare truth that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay. Because this generation, because they do not understand spiritual dynamics like this for parents over children, also because they do not understand the power of words, the power of truth, this young generation, this youth, is being shaped by the lies of the enemy instead of the truth of God's word, even in the church. Even the women in the church, they think they have to look a certain way or be a certain size or weight to be considered beautiful. And that is because the word of God has not been washing them. You're fearfully, wonderfully made. You're beautiful in the sight of God. Amen. That truth will set people free. It is those lies that are putting people in bondage this day. But you speak truth boldly over babies, infants, children, and let the word of God wash them, shape them, make them men and women of Christ. Amen. You surrender them to the Christ authority, and you declare. That's part of baby dedication, but I think it's not just a one-time event. It's important as you, current and future parents, you surrender your child under the authority of Christ. Because people do that plenty of times with curses, giving them unintentionally to Satan. But you surrender and say, God, this child is yours. As the spiritual, as authority over this child, Jesus, I give you full authority over my children. God, have your will done in their lives. Amen. That is how you need to pray. Three things that you should pray for as authority people over children or whatever, especially for parents. These are three things that I think we need to pray regularly. This is what I pray for often. Bind, border, bless. In that order. Okay, so bind. Everyone say bind. Border, bless. And that's why I asked you guys to bind the enemy before we started. Number one, that's where you need to begin. Bind the enemy. Okay? Spirits of anger, spirits of rebellion, spirits of lust, whatever these things are that you're sensing is really your spiritual warfare. In your life, in your relationship, in your family, in your ministry, what you're sensing, and again, if you can't discern, ask people with the gift of discernment, okay, or people who are more sensitive to, in terms of what types of evil spirits are really having activity within certain places, okay? So bind the enemy. Bind specific spirits. Like if you struggle with anger, you bind the spirit of anger. Okay? If you struggle with lust, you bind the spirit of lust. Do not be neutral in your prayers, okay? Especially once you become authority figures over children, over ministries, over whatever. Do not be neutral. Again, Satan wants to steal, kill, destroy. Pray against evil influences, right? And so, again, once if you guys are parents or in the future and stuff, this is something that you guys could keep in mind. So maybe while they're sleeping, you really bind the enemy. And again, these are things that we really have to pray for this generation. If you guys are like Sunday school teachers or whatever, you really have to bind against spirits, these three spirits in this generation. For the younger generation. Spirit of anger. This is an angry young generation, right? spirits of rebellion. It is a very, they don't like authority. They don't care about authority. And lust. Okay, these are three spirits that are plaguing and having their field day over the young people of this generation. So we pray against, we bind these things in this generation, right? And again, if you have nieces or, you know, young children in your Sunday school, whatever, you pray against those things that you're sensing. And again, if they're really young, maybe do it when they're sleeping so you don't freak them out. I rebuke you, Satan! Mommy, my teacher called me Satan, you know? So don't freak them out. So bind the enemy. Number two, after that, border. Border your home. And as we pray here, you know, that God would be a shield of fire. That is one of his names. Wall of fire, I'm sorry. Yeah, wall of fire, right? That he would be a shield, a wall of fire. And this is actually true. I started praying this several years ago because there's a lot of missionaries that share these types of testimonies. Okay, I'll just share one of these stories with you. Is that there's some missionaries like residing in dangerous areas. And then all of a sudden, it's like this rural village area. And then all of a sudden, this mob would surround this Christian couple, right, in their home. And they know that they're Christians. They're angry. And they're like shanking, banging on the walls, the windows, saying, get out. We want to kill you, whatever. And this couple would go into their bedroom and just pray and really pray this. God, be a wall of fire on us. Protect us. Guard us, right? And then after some time passed, all of a sudden it'd be quiet. And they kind of peek out and, you know, the people are gone. So like, okay, that's cool. And then later, obviously, they continue on their mission work, and then some people get saved. And then the Christian couple would ask, you know, some of the leaders that used to be part of that mob, you know, do you remember that night when you and that whole village surrounded our house and you were trying to, like, harm us and stuff? They're like, yeah, I remember. Why did you guys leave? Just out of curiosity, why did you guys leave that day? And this would be the testimony. The guy would say, after he became a Christian, he says, it's because when we looked into the window, we saw a white, huge army inside of your house with swords. That scared us, and we left, you know? And I've heard more than several missionaries share these kind of testimonies when they pray for God's protection in these dangerous areas. So that is why, for the missionaries that you support, it is vital you pray for protection. It is vital that you pray these kind of prayers, that you would bind the enemy, and that the enemy, that you would, that God would be a wall of fire, a border of protection, a shield of protection around them. Amen? And then third thing was what? Bind, border, bless. Now again, this order was intentional, okay? This is how I pray for our congregation. You know, this is how I pray as a pastor over our congregation. This is how I pray before I preach. I want to bind the enemy. I want to border this place with the wall of fire, with God's protection. And then pour out the blessings. The reason why this order is important, the first two prayers are needed first, is because of this. Okay, let's say I get sent to Iraq, you know, because the army or something like that. And all of a sudden, you know, my mom's like all worries, like, Eddie, you know, I'm so worried for you. You know, what do you want? It's like, oh, mom, I miss brownies or I miss chocolate or something, right? And then all of a sudden, and then I'm kind of describing that, oh, my goodness, you know, we just rode for hours in this tank and, oh, my back is killing me. Right, so all of a sudden, one day, I get a surprise visit from my mom. Right, it's like I'm in Iraq. Right, so all of a sudden, bullets are flying and everything's going crazy. We're in the middle of this battle, and my mom comes. Oh, Eddie, I made some brownies for you. You know, here, and also, you know, I shipped your car. You know, here's a new car for you, so you could travel more comfortably. You know, I'm like, mom, that's great, but get down. You know, bullets are flying. It's important for me to enjoy the blessings that my mom wants to give me. First of all, because I'm in a war-torn area, the enemy must be bound. There needs to be a secure border, and then I can enjoy the blessings. Amen? So that order is very important. So even for us, as a church here, you need to bind the enemy, border this place, and then ask for the blessings. Start pouring it in. Amen? That's what we got to do. Bless them. Don't be neutral. Claim this generation for Christ. Claim this church for Christ. Submit your ministry fully under the authority of Christ. That you don't have any room for the enemy to take or hold anything in this, right? Take back your home. If you are the only Christian in your home, you have spiritual authority. And you need to claim and step up to your level of spiritual authority. Claim your family for Christ. Because if you do neutral, there's no such thing as neutral. That's why I keep saying don't be neutral. You know why? If you are neutral with your authority, that's the same thing as letting Satan do whatever he wants. Let's go back to the first illustration I told you about the police station, right? The police guy. All of a sudden, your house is being burglarized. You call the police. They come. They could do something about it. They do nothing. They're neutral. But they're not really neutral. They're in favor of what the enemy wants to do. And if you, that's why it's so important for us to grow in our understanding of spiritual authority, our role, our responsibility, and our rights. Because if you do nothing, you're letting the enemy just play around. So don't let Satan steal what is yours or what is Christ. Amen? So we can do this. Why? Because one more note about authority in Christ. Our authority is greater than the authority of Satan. Okay, that's another thing we must remember. Okay, 1 John 4:4 says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." Amen? Right, so have faith in the power of God and the promises of his word. So once again, let's go back to Matthew chapter 8 and see the response of Jesus to the centurion's understanding of authority. Verse 10. Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. Says this, "When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, 'I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith.'" Jump down to verse 13. "Then Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go, it will be done just as you believed it would.' And his servant was healed at that very hour." The centurion was talking about authority the whole time. But then Jesus commends him for his faith. Okay, so he's talking about authority, authority, authority. So again, it's like, "Oh, Jesus, you know, my servant's sick. I'll go." No, I'm a man under authority. I know authority. You speak the word. Authority, 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 authority. And then Jesus says, "You have great faith." What's the connection? When you grow in your understanding of authority, your faith in God also grows. See, that's why it's important. Because if you fully understand how authority works, that there is a spiritual governing authority and law and system and rules that even the demons must follow. There's a hierarchy in the spiritual realm. Satan must follow the rules of God. Right? And when you understand that Christ has all authority, he has given us some of that authority, but the authority he gives us is greater than the authority of Satan. Your faith in Christ, in his mission, in his words, that when God calls us to the nations, we go in his authority and believe that the nations will one day bow. No matter how hard it is, you understand that God's word says all the nations will one day bow. And I will obey by planting these seeds and in faith believe that God's word that has power, truth that is declared and believed in, affects powerfully the spiritual realm. And nations will change. People will change. Eternity changes when that happens. Amen? Because you realize Christ has all authority over all things, and therefore there is nothing too difficult for him. He is greater. He is supreme. Amen? So let us trust in him as we exercise our God-given authority to take back what is rightfully ours. That begins today. Amen. Let's pray. Now, I want to share with you, as you do, prepare your hearts in prayer, some testimonies that came out of this message for our ministry several weeks back. There have been people who struggled with internet pornography, with food addictions, with all these other things, that they always gave in. Day after day, week upon week, month after month, year after year, they just always gave in. And then they started taking steps of faith, declaring truth, submitting their life under the authority of Christ and the blood of Christ, and they started experiencing victories for the first time in their lives in certain areas that Satan had bound. So that's why it's important for you. If there are certain things that you have been struggling with in your life, in your past until this day, If Satan ever even slightly rears his ugly head into your life or situation again, you claim your life under the authority of Christ. When you face that temptation, you verbally declare, you know what? God, my life is yours. I submit my life under the authority of Christ. Satan, get out of here. I'm not going to follow you. I'm not going to submit to you. I'm not going to obey you. I'm not going to put my life under your authority any longer. My life is Christ. I've been bought with the blood of Christ. You declare that truth. You believe in it. Satan's going to flee. Amen. So let's pray right now. And let's pray. God, let's begin there. Submit fully your life under the authority of Christ. Make that declaration tonight. Say, Jesus Christ, I know I did it when I first got saved, but today and every day, I declare I am yours. I submit my life fully under your authority. Let your kingdom rule and reign come in my life, in this ministry, in my family. Let your will be done. God, I want your will to be done. You declare it. You speak it into your life, into this ministry right now in Jesus' name. Let's pray for that right now.